Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another mini-sode of Badger State of Wisconsin History Podcast, where we look at various people, places, and events throughout Wisconsin history. As always, I'm your host, Peter Lanning, and this is mini-sode number 5, in which we are going to discuss a little bit about the Horicon Marsh right by my hometown of Waupun. And as this should be no surprise, I have my little brother Joseph with me, and we're going to talk about whatever we come up with here.
Yeah.
So, obviously, I know I've mentioned the Horicon Marsh in, like, a lot of episodes, right?
Yeah.
You know it.
Oh, yeah.
I love this place so much. Actually, we are driving around through the federal side of the marsh as we are recording here, which is kind of cool. We talked about glaciers in our most recent episode. And driving through here, you can really see the impact of it, which is kind of why I wanted to do this mini-sode this way. So you can see the impact. So I know we talked last time that the glaciers at their thickest point were about 2 miles thick.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So imagine the weight of that ice carving out. You can see off in the distance from where we are right now is the Niagara Escarpment.
Yeah.
The ledge, which is pretty high up.
Pretty close to you, too.
It's not like mountain height. Yeah, it's pretty close to where we are right now, just outside of Waupun. But the glaciers, as they came down from the Great Nort, they carved out this land here. It's nice and flat. I know I talked about that a lot in part one of pre-Columbian Wisconsin, how the glaciers flattened out this part of the state.
Mm-hmm. But isn't it like how they kind of carved out little ponds too, which is where we are right now?
Yeah, I mean, at some points they're deeper. We discussed the Kettle Moraine, too, which is another one of my favorite places. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to do a whole episode on that. I'm going to talk about Camp Broken Isle.
Okay.
Right, which is near Keele in Manitowoc County that has actually a really unique bog. I'm going to find a nice guest host for that one. But I think this is a good place to talk about because you can see how it's just gently rolling. The landscape is just this wonderful, gently rolling hills. The marsh isn't actually that deep at all either. So where we are right now would have been pretty far east, I think near the eastern edge of the Green Bay lobe of the glacier that came down through Wisconsin about 11,000 years ago. It's so cool just being out here.
See this. It's so peaceful, calming.
And this is like a really popular tourist spot too, which is another reason why I wanted to record this, because I want to bring so much attention to this place because it is gorgeous. Actually, last time I checked, and I'm sure this is still true, the Horicon Marsh, both the National Wildlife Refuge, which is the northern two-thirds, and the State Wildlife Area, which is down in Horicon. It's all the same Horicon Marsh, but it is a wetland of international importance.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember when it was designated, but that's its designation. So we have millions of birds that come through here and live here in the spring, summer, and fall with, of course, a few year-round residents.
Oh, yeah. Geese are one of the more popular birds.
Yeah, we have millions of Canada geese. Recently, within the past 20 years or so, American white pelicans have returned out here. I think I've posted a few photos of those recently.
As well as snow geese. I've seen a few snow geese coming around.
Yeah, snow geese. We just saw some swans after we drove in here, too. There's sandhill cranes. There's whooping cranes come here, which are some of the rarest birds in the world. And they're also the tallest in North America. I just saw a post this morning, actually, scrolling through Facebook, that while they are the tallest bird in North America, they only weigh about 20 pounds.
Oh, really? That's still heavy for a bird.
Yeah, but from what I know, 5 feet tall, 20 pounds is...
Oh, geez,
I could carry that.
I didn't know.
Super easy.
I didn't know they were that tall.
Yeah, they're tall birds. I've had... Remember when we were here last year? I think it was you and me. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was me and Mom. I don't know. There were a few out here that I got some pictures of.
Oh, yeah. I remember seeing.
I know I was super excited to get those pictures. They're not the best. I may see if I can find those and post those. But yeah, there's so much. I know I keep saying there's so much out here, but it's true.
There's so much to do out here, too. They hold... I think I've seen on the road here that they have, like, mile markers. They do runs out here.
Yeah, I think this is where Waupun holds some of its cross-country meets, which would make sense. I know they've done some, like, training out here for cross-country and for track. People bring their dogs out here. The auto loop, the auto tour loop that is on the federal side is about 3 miles long. There is, I think that's a swan flying off in the distance here.
Two.
Getting a little distracted. That's okay. Three, four?
Something like that.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is a great place. So if you guys ever want a nice place to come in Wisconsin, in southeast Wisconsin, for like a nice hike.
A place to cool off.
Of course. Some geese out here. I know I posted some red-winged blackbirds past couple of days. I posted a lot of those. I think these are terns. These aren't swans. They're smaller, but they're just all. I love waterfowl. So if you guys didn't know this about me already, before going to school for history, I initially wanted to apply to Cornell University in New York to study with their ornithology program. And if you don't know what ornithology is, and if you haven't guessed by now, it's the study of birds. I was really, I love photographing birds, and I almost went and ordered myself a giant textbook on ornithology, which I may still someday do, because I think birds are just the most fascinating creatures.
I agree. So they're just so majestic. Like that one picture of, I think that, I'm not sure what that was, that egret that decided to fall over. You'd have to bring that up too.
Yeah, oh my god, yes.
Majestic.
So back when I first started getting into photography, so obviously I am like a man of many trades.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I do podcasting. I like my history. I'm studying birds and photography. I do so much different things. I don't know why. I really don't have time for all these things. But back when I first started really getting into photography, this would have been about 6 years ago. So it would have been like summer of 2014. Mm-hmm. Our mom and I came out here. And there's a white egret that was standing in the water, because you know that's what they do, they eat fish and other animals in the
marine
water
life,
yeah. Because their way they have long legs. So this particular egret was standing, I'm assuming it was standing on a rock or something, or it stepped up onto a rock, and as it was doing so, it slipped and it fell face first into the water. And of course, it's not that deep. But it got up and it just had the most disgusted look on its face. Like, it was like, why did I just do that? I mean, I think the closest equivalent to that, we've all seen, like, the Pikachu meme.
Yeah.
Like, with the mouth hanging open, that's basically what this bird looked like.
Yeah, you guys, when you guys came home from that day, you and Mom were both telling us how, like, dying you were.
Yeah, mom was practically rolling on the floor. It was really funny. But yeah, I've gotten some of my best photos I've taken out here. And of course, they're all birds.
Within the vicinity, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I have turtles. I've taken pictures of...
Snowy owl.
I do have a snowy owl that I did out in 49. And unfortunately, that tree is no longer there that snowy owl was on.
Yeah.
It's probably rotting anyway, so that's probably a good thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, my best photo... I don't have very many mammal photos from out here. I've never seen deer out in the marsh.
No, I haven't either.
Which, I mean, it kind of makes sense. I've seen more deer in the city of Waupun than I have out here in the wild spaces that is the Horicon Marsh.
Yeah.
But this is like a bird watcher's paradise, and I mean that truly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and if you guys are following us on social media, you'll remember from a couple weeks ago, I think it was last week, I posted some photos during the prescribed burns that they do to control the invasive species that are out here.
Plants, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure what all of the invasive species are. I'm not exactly a scientist. I think all humans are scientists. but I'm not trained to know. The only one I can remember off the top of my head is purple lupine, and that's not even growing out here yet because it's only March.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be, but I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And there's so many overlooks, dude. We have a nice boardwalk, a floating boardwalk out here. And there's a bunch of other programs, too. So across the highway, on the north side of Highway 49, is this great little place called Marsh Haven Nature Center that has a lot of educational programs for students. They do lots of schoolwork. They have Birds of Prey programs where the director, Renee, who is a friend of mine, goes out and she gives demonstrations of what, like, she has, or the Marsh Haven has, mm-hmm. a bunch of disabled birds that weren't expected to make it. She has to have, like, state and federal paperwork to have all these, but she gives these excellent programs. And one of these days, I really want to go and record one of those with her permission. Yeah. And I just think it's so cool. Conservation in this state is unmatched.
Yeah.
And we have two of the great conservationists of our time, since the founding of the United States. We're from Wisconsin. So we have John Muir, we know, who is a friend of Teddy Roosevelt.
Yeah.
And we have Aldo Leopold.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they were both from Wisconsin. Yeah.
Yeah. There's very interesting history, especially to this place. And they have, like, this little tourist attraction, not like a trip, like a visitor center over across 49, too, where they have a display of birds, and then they have other buildings along this area that also can convey the birds and animals that are found here.
Yeah, and it's super cool. You know, another thing is that Marsh Haven holds its Living History Days in the last weekend of September every year, which I attend as a War of 1812 reenactor usually. Mm-hmm. I'll probably be there this year. I usually go as, like, U.S. militia, but sometimes I'll go as, like, a regular army soldier from the War of 1812. Mm-hmm. And there wasn't too much action out in this part of the state during the War of 1812, but there was a battle in Prairie du Chien, and I put out a full episode on that last November or December, sometime last year. But yeah, actually, you know, thinking about it now, Marsh Haven is also where I did my Eagle Scout project in 2014.
Rebuilding the stone walls, yeah.
Yeah, so outside that building, and I can't believe I'm going to be talking about myself again here, but outside their main building, they have these two limestone walls that were falling apart. Mm-hmm. So my task as the Eagle Scout candidate was to tear those down, rebuild them, then tear out these, I don't want to say they were invasive. Are arborvitae invasive?
I mean, it really depends where they're from.
Okay, I don't think, they're not native to this area. Kind of like pine trees aren't native to this part of the state.
Yeah, same with grass.
Yeah, so I had to tear out all these arborvitae on top of these walls, and then I went and planted native wildflowers on top of them to encourage bees and butterflies to come out here.
And hummingbirds. They're popular.
Yeah. There. I think the coolest thing I learned while doing that is that native wildflowers to the state of Wisconsin, and I'm sure this is true of other, like, Midwestern states, is that you can tell a flower or a plant is native here if the stem is square.
Oh, really?
Yeah, more square in shape than just round.
I did not.
So I planted, like, black-eyed Susans. There's plants called cup plants, but they're really tall. They have these huge leaves that kind of fold in on themselves, and they fill up with water in the rain. Mm-hmm. And, well, it's an important source of water for certain birds and insects.
Yeah.
Milkweed I planted. I don't know if I planted or if it just spread there, but I'm really glad it did. So we have monarch butterflies that come out there now.
Yeah.
I don't see too much of it out here on the actual marsh itself, but I know it grows in...
It grows especially over by what's called Marsh Haven.
Yeah.
What are those, like, purple flower plants? I can't think of what they're called.
Oh, asters.
Yeah.
I planted a bunch of those. I think those are absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
The kind that I planted are called New England asters. I don't know the name. I'm not a botanist. I never took the plant science merit badge as a Boy Scout.
Probably should have.
I probably should have. I took bird study.
Yeah.
Makes sense, right?
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah. I mean, again, there's just so much to see and do out here. And, of course, I don't want you guys to mistake this for being an episode on the history of the Horicon Marsh. That will be coming at some point. I plan on reaching out to them to see if they have somebody who will be willing to talk to me about the history of the Horicon Marsh.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's so much that happened here. Not just, like,
glaciers.
The natural history.
Yeah.
But, like, the history of human habitation. From Native Americans to the first Europeans to what it is now.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think would be a really fun thing.
Oh, yeah. I think so, too.
Yeah, and I think you guys would really enjoy that. Especially if you're from southeastern Wisconsin. And I hope other people have heard of this place, too. Because I'm pretty sure I haven't mentioned this yet, but the Horicon Marsh is the largest freshwater cattail marsh in the United States.
I've heard about that.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
I don't know the exact size. Of course, I'm driving and recording, so we can't exactly look it up. So
yeah.
I just know it is just this massive, massive body of water.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I think that's all I need to talk about for the Horicon Marsh. I just really wanted to do this to talk about my love of birds just for today. Get out some more content with everything going on in the country recently.
Oh, yeah.
So
it's a good break from all those coronavirus memes going around.
Yeah, yeah. I'm hoping to kind of break those up a little bit. Hear about some of, like, I hope this explains kind of more of who I am and what I do. And it's kind of an announcement here. I'm going to start posting Wisconsin-related trivia on social media. So on Facebook and on Twitter and on Instagram. And you can find, you can just Google the name of the podcast, Badger State, a Wisconsin History Podcast, into Google. And you'll probably find all of our social media really quick.
Yeah.
So you can find us there. I'll start posting those within the next week. But I'm going to be taking a couple days off for St. Patrick's Day,
yeah,
which is this week. And we have a new episode. I think it's episode 6, season 2, episode 6, Newswoman Extraordinaire, which is coming out on Friday, the 20th of March, in which I got to interview our grandma.
Yeah. I heard she really enjoyed that.
She really did. She was super grateful for this opportunity. She didn't think she did too much as a newswoman, but we know otherwise, right?
Everybody knows otherwise.
Yeah. Yeah, so I hope you guys will really enjoy that one, and I hope you have really enjoyed this little conversation my brother and I are having about birds and the Horicon Marsh. So,
yes.
Be safe, wash your hands, take care of yourselves and your families.
And avoid going into large groups.
Yes, that too. And until next time, guys, this is Peter Lanning and Joseph with Badger State, over and out.